When Jesus was brought to the place of the skull, they crucified him there with the other criminals, and there was an inscription over him, King of the Jews. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Be seated. More than I could ever tell you, I loved and enjoyed the charismatic movement of the Episcopal Church some 30, 35 and more years ago. Movements come and go, and this one did. But we had wonderful praise and worship, Spirit-filled songs about Jesus as our King. And if I could go back any time in life, it might be to that beautiful place and time of joy in the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, opening our hearts to him. Alleluia, alleluia, Jesus is our King. Triumphant hymns for opening worship, every hand in the air. Joy in Jesus on every face. But you know what? I looked at this gospel today and I have to give them credit. The lectionary framers are idiots. This is an absurd gospel to read on a Sunday when we are celebrating Christ the King. What kind of king hangs on a cross? Or maybe Jesus was right last Sunday. Maybe the earth is quaking, not one stone left upon another. Maybe we do need to see our King hanging naked on a cross, bloody, drooling, dripping, to shock us into remembering who we claim to worship and adore, and in whose bloody tracks we covenant to tread. We adore thee, King Christ, and we bless thee, for by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. But Jesus is not king. Jesus is not king because Christianity is where Christ is king, and a Christian is someone who is becoming Christ. In the becoming Christ, and we are not becoming Christ, and Christ is not king for us, which is why we have this day in the first place. Now, you've heard this from your priest before here at Holy Nativity. One or both of us tell it every year. In 1925, Pope Pius XI instituted Christ the King Sunday in response to growing secularism in the world, the ascendance of fascist dictator Benito Mussolini in Italy, nationalist fascist movements erupting throughout Europe by majority vote of the electorate for whom Christ was not king, stirring hate and prejudice and the unspeakable horrors of the German Holocaust, and igniting World War II. Most of you do not remember. I am of that age. I was there. I was a child, but I remember the propaganda on both sides, all sides, the newsreels, our national fears, hatreds, and determinations. I remember the war songs. We used to sing a war song starting class at Cove School when I was in grammar school there every morning. The war songs, the nationalistic fervor, how we hated the enemy. I remember the nuclear fireballs that ended the war with our exuberant celebration. I have stood at the atomic epicenter in Nagasaki, and I have served. Christ is not king. Nation is king. Flag is king. And so nothing little has changed. Nothing has changed. The Pope was right. Christ is not king and still hangs dying. You heard the gospel. Poor Yahweh, he never gives up on us. Crucified God, ever hopeful that Sunday Easter will come for us in spite of all that we are and all that we worship in this world. Like and with St. Paul 2,000 years ago, my longing is that Jesus may return in my time as conqueror and king. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Amen. Maranatha, come. Lord Jesus, come. One wonders if Jesus will be disappointed, if he will be angry, what will be his reaction to us as he finds us. One of my books at home, and I've told you about this before, one of my books at home is the Bible according to Mark Twain, who early on in the book replicates that familiar scene in the book of Job where God's advisors, the heavenly chorus of angels, gather in conference with God. And God tells the angels that he has created humans in his own image, stunned. They don't know what to say. And in the story, as in Job, Satan rolls his eyes and he snorts, "Excellency, whatever are they for?" And when it comes to the question, God does not seem at all sure. In a later scene in the book, God is disappointed, he is confounded and desolate that his human experiment has gone so wrong, so wicked, bad, and evil, so far from his hope and dream. And so God again confers with the council of angels, and once again Satan, the caustic angel of sarcasm, wit, and bitter cynicism, speaks the wisdom of the ages when he advises God, "I'd drown the whole lot of them and start over." Look at the world around us. Christ is not king. Christ is not king, never will be king, simply because God the Father wills it, only if and when we Christians make it so. But from the serpent in the garden to this present moment, our record in human history is unpromising and unhopeful. I stand here as your preacher this morning, and as your preacher, I can smile and laugh with you. I can raise my hands in the air, praising God and shouting, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed, hallelujah." But you heard the gospel. He is not risen, not king. And as it turns out, I am the idiot. The lectionary framers had it right. He hangs crucified, the resurrection, but a future promise and divine hope of paradise where Christ is king right here on earth. Not king in an afterlife above the firmament, but here on earth. King in this room, here and now. King in your home and family. King in human life today. Christ will only be king when for every problem the question is WWJD, what would Jesus do? And in answer, we follow in his bloody tracks. We are a long way from. And every day is Good Friday as our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, hangs in agony on the cross, and the earth shakes with the trembling rage of God the Father. And so there he hangs in today's gospel, the man on the cross. What he is and will be depends on entirely and solely on what you are becoming, if you are becoming Christ or not. Whether you follow and obey him as your Lord and King or hurl stones and insults as a common passerby, whether you persevere in resisting evil or surrender to the powers of darkness, whether you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself, or unite with the hatreds that divide us, whether you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being, or sink into prejudice and contempt toward those who are different from you, you are bound in covenant to Christ the King. If you're not living into your baptismal promises, he is not king. He is not your king. He is not king for you. And so this morning, as we head into Advent, I exhort you, seriously contemplate the promises and vows that you have made for Christ as King. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, thank you for the good news gospel that in the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, you overcome sin for all who follow and obey him as King. Thank you that in his resurrection you overcome death for us. Thank you that by the sealing of your Holy Spirit in baptism, you bind us in love to your service. Renew with us the covenant you and we made at baptism. Send us forth in the power of the Spirit to live the life you set before us in Jesus Christ, your Son, our King, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and to the ages of ages.